Greetings and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behruz Najafi. Venezuela has been in political turmoil in the past couple of months, with the opposition blaming President Nicolas Maduro over an ailing economy, hyperinflation, power cuts, and shortages of basic items. Political crisis deepened in Latin American country on January 23rd, when opposition figure Juan Guaido, who leads the Venezuelan National Assembly, proclaimed himself the interim president. Now, the U.S., Canada, and a number of European countries were quick to officially recognize him as such. We've conducted an interview with Alfred de Zayas, former U.N. rapporteur on Venezuela. He told us that the West risks losing its credibility by recognizing Juan Guaido as Venezuelan interim president.
What does surprise me is that Canada, the United Kingdom, the European Union have joined the demented policies of the United States. I mean, if you are committed, as the European Union ostensibly is committed, to democracy, the rule of law, and human rights, you lose all of your credibility when you come and you recognize the pretender as the legitimate president or interim president of Venezuela.
Now, Western intervention in Venezuela is not limited to its recognition of Guaido as interim president. Days ago, the Trump administration announced a new round of sanctions against Venezuela's state-owned oil firm PDVSA. Now, let's listen to Alfred de Zayas' take on anti-Venezuela sanctions.
When you deliberately create conditions that lead to malnutrition, death, and also death for lack of access to insulin, lack of access to medical care, then there is both civil and criminal responsibility. The economic war that has been waged against Venezuela, the financial blockade, the sanctions, first from Obama and now from Trump and from Trudeau and from the European Union, have directly impacted the enjoyment of human rights in Venezuela, so that the government has been unable to purchase food and medicines.
Now, joining me in this debate will be Richard Millet, journalist and political commentator from London, and Richard Becker with the Answer Coalition, who's joining us from San Francisco. Thank you both, gentlemen. Now, let me start with Richard Millet. President Trump told CBS a few hours ago that he has turned down Mr. Maduro's offer of talks. He also said that sending the military to Venezuela is an option. Now, what gives Washington the mandate to want to topple Caracas government by military force?
Well, Beirut, when people are starving to death, people are having to get their food out of rubbish bins, children are dying because of lack of medicine due to a government that is totally inept, a far left-wing government that would rather stay in power, that is enjoying the fruits of its theft by feeding itself, having its their children overseas in safety, whilst watching the Venezuelan population die of malnutrition and disease and emaciation and hunger. This is what gives any decent people the right to say enough is enough, and it's time for the government of this sick, thieving government in Venezuela to leave the scene. If they want to go and save their own skins, go into exile somewhere, maybe in Russia or Turkey or Iran. But any decent human being would want the end to this suffering of an innocent Venezuelan population by an undemocratically elected, thieving regime. It's obvious, it's reasonable, and it's moral.
Okay. Now, Richard Becker, former UN rapporteur to Venezuela, and we just played his sound bites. He blames the U.S. sanctions for the death of hundreds of people there in Venezuela and suffering of many more. I wonder if Richard Millet paid attention to what he said. Now, this, he says, constitutes crimes against humanity. So why is his report neglected and arguments on regime change in Caracas are based on unsubstantiated statistics?
Well, first of all, you have to point out that the number one humanitarian crisis in the world today is not in Venezuela, it is in Yemen. And this has been attested to by many international bodies. And here you have the United States government, and everyone should take this into, really look at this. Here you have a United States government which is declaring that it can appoint a new president and overthrow the government of Venezuela. And at the same time, it is the main backer of Saudi Arabia, arming, providing the refueling, providing diplomatic protection for Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, using U.S. weapons to carry out a war against the people of Yemen, where the greatest humanitarian crisis in the world today exists. So, you know, we have to see that this is just the most utter hypocrisy, the most cynical form of hypocrisy, to talk about, as your other guest did, to say this is somehow this is really about humanitarian concerns. I mean, it's just ridiculous to make that assertion. And the government of Nicolas Maduro received 6.2 million votes in an election that was, again, international bodies said was a fair and free election. The Carter Center, which is observed many elections, said Jimmy Carter himself said that Venezuela probably has the best election process in the world. He got 6.2 million votes, actually 31% of the eligible voters, of all eligible voters in Venezuela, voted for Maduro in May of 2018. 26%, or actually less than 26%, of all eligible voters in the United States voted for Trump in 2016. So what's the legitimate government?
Exactly, and we'll come to that at a later point. Now, Richard Millet, on Saturday, both pro and anti-Maduro rallies were held in Venezuela. Self-proclaimed interim president Guaido stressed that protests will continue until, in his words, freedom is achieved. Now, is this the right way to tackle problems? Is dialogue, be it direct or mediated, not a better solution?
Well, you can't really talk to someone like Maduro like you can't talk to someone like his predecessor, Chavez. These are corrupt, sick-minded individuals who don't care about their own populations. They only care about their own self-survival. And the protests are very, very good. This is a way of Guaido to call on the people of even the working class, the poverty-stricken, who used to actually vote for or support Maduro and now turn against Maduro. The only people who support Maduro are the army that are fed huge amounts of wealth by the Maduro to stay in power. Now, eventually, the army is probably going to turn against Maduro, get rid of him, and, you know, the army, you've got to remember, Beirut, apart from the general and the elite at the top of the army, the average soldier is receiving something like $12 a month. The average soldier is his family, the family of the average soldier. The soldiers are watching their own families starve to death here by a government that doesn't care. So eventually, the army will flip sides, go against Maduro, and then eventually there'll be some sort of democratic process, and then the International Monetary Fund will come in to restore stability, America will come in with investments, the EU will come in with investments, we'll get the oil sector back on its feet, producing more than is being produced today, and that will go back to the Venezuelan people. People like Richard Becker, you know, they're not interested. They talk about Yemen. They have absolutely no answer. to what's happening in Venezuela. They have to talk about other parts of the world. This is what we expect from Mr. Becker. But, you know, the Venezuelan people deserve better than this. And these protests, yes, Beirut, I think they're positive and they will eventually lead to the overthrow of this sick, undemocratic government in Venezuela.
Okay, Richard Becker, the pro-Maduro crowd also marked the 20th anniversary of the rise of Hugo Chavez to power. And then there, President Maduro accused international media of ignoring pro-government demonstrations. What's the agenda of the international media as regards the Caracas government?
Well, the corporate media in the United States and in Europe and Canada and so forth, and a lot of Latin America, is corporate media. And there, that brings us to what the real objective is of the United States government here, which is a government that serves the interests, not of the people of the United States, but of the big banks and oil companies and the military industrial corporations. This is about oil. That's what it's really about. It's about oil and power. It's not about democracy. It's not about human rights. That's not what, why the United States is intervening like this. They have a carefully orchestrated plan. Guaido called Pence, had a conversation, or Pence called him the night before on January 22nd. Pence told him, go ahead, say you're the president, and we'll say you're the president, and we'll get other people to say you're the president, even though there's no basis whatsoever. I mean, to be able to go around the world and decide who the president is of different countries. This is about oil. Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world, the largest proven reserves. And Bolton let the cat out of the bag the other day by saying, want to privatize it, denationalize it, so it's not used anymore for the interest of the people of Venezuela, but it becomes prey to the giant oil companies, ExxonMobil and all the rest of them.
Richard Millett, U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton urged members of the Venezuelan military to defect and join the opposition. Of course, this after an Air Force general announced his support for Guaido. Now, sanctions on a major oil company are also imposed. So is Washington trying to help the Venezuelan people or bring them further misery by these sanctions?
And obviously trying to help the people of Venezuela. You get this Maduro government out of the way.
But people are paying the price.
A proper election. You have a proper election, unlike this corrupt election that Maduro claimed for his own presidency. And you get the oil sector back on its feet, producing the billions of barrels of oil a day that it should be producing. And that will bring in vast amounts of wealth into the coffers of Venezuela. And they can then spend it on their people. They can spend it on food, on medical care, on schools, on all the basics that the Venezuelan people need, instead of going into bins.
Richard,
I listen to you speak. Please listen to me, finish, and then you can have your say. Instead of the people of Venezuela going into the bins and taking food out of bins to eat, you need to get the oil industry back on its feet, producing the billions of barrels of oil a day, and that money will go back to the Venezuelan people. It is so obvious that you have a government Maduro in the way of the health and security and safety of his own people. It's just obvious.
Yeah, but Richard, we don't trust Washington to be able to do that for the Venezuelan people anyway. Now, Richard Millett, Washington has a history of staging coup d'etats and attempts aimed at regime change in many Latin American countries. Now, what's the U.S. seeking in Venezuela at this time? Profiteering in financial gains or improving the situation in that country?
Is that me?
Richard
Are you asking
Becker.
Me? Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, that's what's going on. It's been going on for a couple of centuries in regard to the U.S. and Latin America. We're coming up on the anniversary in 4 years of the Monroe Doctrine. The Monroe Doctrine was really a declaration that all of the Western Hemisphere is under the control of the United States. They couldn't do it at that time, at the time when James Monroe was the president in 1823, but that was the guiding idea. And in fact, the United States took large parts of Latin America, took half of Mexico, amputated it from Mexico 20 years after the Monroe Doctrine. And the pattern has continued of dozens, hundreds of U.S. interventions in different ways, from military interventions to economic sanctions, which can be very, very devastating. There's economic war has been waged against Venezuela, as it's been waged against other countries. We have to remember what happened in Chile in 1973 when the Salvador Allende government had these kind of sanctions and blockade implemented against them. And Cuba has suffered greatly from them. Any government that doesn't toe the Washington line becomes subject to military attack or economic warfare or other forms of destabilization and destruction. Mm-hmm. This is a pattern that's undeniable. And so every time we come into a new crisis, we should look at that history and not just say, oh, here's something new. Mm-hmm. It's not new.
Exactly. Richard Miller, the U.S. presidential election in which Mr. Trump took the helm of the White House is still questioned as regards the alleged Russian meddling in his favor. Now, how can such an administration ask for regime change elsewhere in the world? Why didn't you call the U.S. election illegitimate, like you called Venezuela one?
Well, unless you've seen a trial and the absolute proof beyond reasonable doubt that there was Russian interference in the Trump election, until we get to that stage, once we get to that stage, then we can discuss it. But now you're making accusations that at the moment aren't proven. People in America aren't starving. People in America aren't going to the bins, taking food out of the bins. This is something that Richard Becker seems to not even, you know, I haven't even heard the Venezuelan people come out of his mouth. He's talking
so Richard
about
Yemen,
he's talking
Richard
about...
Richard Miller, let me put it this way.
Chile.
Richard Millett, if people in America face the same problem Venezuelan people are facing, so can another government ask for an overthrow of the American administration?
Well, America people aren't in that position, the same position as the Venezuela. But yeah, if any country's people are starving, like we're seeing in Venezuela, as a result of that government, direct result of the Venezuelan government, which is exactly what's happening, and we haven't even really seen sanctions imposed yet in Venezuela. The sanctions are going to start to hit very soon. So the fact there aren't really sanctions hitting at the moment.
There have been sanctions for many years against Venezuela by the United States.
We had the UN report for you.
And we're seeing people going into the bins to take food out of the bins. We're seeing children
dying about.
Because of the lack of medicine. Every single decent government in the world has a right to intervene in the country to stop children dying, children suffering. And if you can't see that, then you're not a reasonable human being, I'm afraid.
Okay, Richard Becker, One in four children
in the United States lives in poverty. Mm-hmm. And every single day, I see people pulling food and other things out of garbage bins in San Francisco. So you keep harping on the bins, and you're ignoring the reality of the situation in many, many countries, including the United States, the richest country in the world, because of the system that it has. And, you know, and instead just focusing on problems that exist in Venezuela. The United States has no right to intervene in Venezuela. Venezuela is a sovereign country. The United States has no right to name a new president for the people of Venezuela. They had an mm-hmm. election. Most of the right wing sat out the election because they thought that would help bring about the U.S. intervention, and they did it in complete coordination, full mm-hmm. coordination with the United States.
Richard Becker, I had another question for you, and that's Europe. You know, European countries are forcing Maduro to hold new presidential elections. Otherwise, they say they will recognize Guaido. Now, why is Europe doing this? I mean, isn't this in contravention of, international norms and democracy that they are boasting of?
Well, yes. I mean, this certainly is in violation, and they're doing it to try to please, I think, the Trump administration. They, too, are opposed. These are corporate-run governments themselves, and we shouldn't forget that, particularly the big powers of NATO. The U.S. Is the leader of the NATO alliance, and this is a way for them to intervene to try to overturn a government they also don't like, a progressive government. You know, the government of Hugo Chavez, and then followed by Maduro, but the Chavez government did things for the people of Venezuela, especially the poor, that had never been done before. Millions of new units of housing were built that people are living in today. All kinds of literacy campaigns and medical aid campaigns were established in Venezuela. So I went there in 2004. People, I talked to many people, they'd never seen a doctor or a dentist in their life before the Chavez government came in and began providing health care for people. They have been subject to an economic war that has turned some of those gains back. But the alternative is the corporate takeover, U.S. corporate takeover of Venezuela, and its allies will get, you know, smaller pieces of the pie if they succeed.
Okay. Now we're running out of time. Richard Miller, Turkey and Iran and China are taking Maduro's side. Also, Russia is saying it's ready for mediation. What's the prospect of mediated negotiations in Venezuela? Very briefly, please.
Well, all the people that have taken his side are all authoritarian regimes, undemocratic authoritarian regimes. Crackdown on journalists, crackdown on human rights. Of course they want to keep Maduro in power. They see another authoritarian, undemocratic, oppressive regime fall. They're all worried about their own regimes falling.
We're about seeing mediation the opposition. We're seeing
people. Well, there's no mediation prospects because the fact is the people who used to even the people that used to support Maduro are now against him. The whole of Venezuela is against this government. It's just a matter of time before it falls. Why would you want to mediate with a government that you need to get rid of to bring peace and prosperity back to that country?
Okay, Richard Becker, your point, 30 seconds, please.
Well, I think that that Trump let the cat out of the bag too when he said the reason he didn't, he wouldn't mediate, he wouldn't discuss, he wouldn't negotiate with the Venezuelan government, the legitimate elected government of Venezuela, was that we're very far along in the process, meaning that this is all mapped out for how the coup will actually happen, and he feels that it's progressing along that way. But yesterday's demonstration, I think, was larger, the pro-Maduro. Than the anti.
Okay, thank you for that. Let me thank our guests. So we had Richard Miller, journalist and political commentator from London, and Richard Becker with the Answer Coalition from San Francisco. Thank you both gentlemen for joining us, and also thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.